welcome to Killer Crawl Space. This is episode 37. This is about the Bear Brook murders. But November 10th, 1985, a hunter would find a 55-gallon drum near a site of a burned-down store. The drum would consist of two bodies, an adult female and a young girl. They had been wrapped in plastic and electrical wiring. The lady was possibly Caucasian with a Native American heritage. She was in her 20s, had curly brown hair, and was between 5'2" to 5'7". Her teeth showed dental work like fillings and attractions. The girl was between 5 and 11 years old. She had ammonia symptoms and a crooked front tooth and a big gap in between her front teeth. Two earrings in each ear, and she was between 4'3" to 4'6". Her hair was wavy and a light brown collar. Autopsy revealed that both of them had died from blunt trauma, and they would later be buried in the same grave. On May 9, 2000, remains of two young girls would be found near the site from 1985. The two bodies had been placed in a 55-gallon drum as well, and the cause of death has not been determined. The first girl is between 2 to 4 years old. She had a gap in between her front teeth. She had brown hair and was about 3'8". She had an overbite. The second girl was between 1 to 3 years old. She had long blonde hair or light brown collar. She was between 2'1" to 2'6" and had a gap in her front teeth. Throughout the years, investigators have tried to identify the victims, but sadly with no luck. DNA profiling would eventually determine the woman and two of the girls were maternally related. This meant the woman could have been, for example, the girl's, you know, mother, aunt, or an older sister, but the child between 2 to 4 years old, she wasn't related to the woman or the other children. Other information shows the woman and the three girls lived together in the northeastern part of the United States between 2 weeks to 3 months before their deaths. We fast forward to 2017. It'd be made public that the niece, Buden, who hadn't been seen since 1981, was connected to the Bear Brook murders. The niece had disappeared from New Hampshire along with her young daughter named Dawn and her boyfriend named Robert Evans. The crazy thing is, she wasn't reported missing until 2016. And this is when her daughter surfaced alive and well. And the reason why she was alive and well is because in 1985, she was left in the care of a married couple while Robert dropped out of sight. Basically, what happened is, he left this girl with this, like I said, with this married couple, and he said that her name was Lisa. So, in 2003, the investigators began trying to identify who Lisa truly was, this little girl. You know, her original name was Dawn, because they knew Robert was not the father. And in 2014, they entered her DNA to the online database, and like I said a moment ago, in 2016, they were able to link her to a cousin of Denise's. And she was able to confirm she was the daughter of Denise, and her real name was Dawn. And another interesting fact that happened in 2007 was this: Robert Evans wasn't really Robert Evans. His real name was Terrence Petter Rasmussen. I know I pronounced that name wrong. But he was born in Colorado in 1943. He would drop out of high school and join the Navy in 1961. He'd be discharged in 1967. He would move to Hawaii, where he married and had four children. She would leave him in 1973. He would start using the Robert Evans name in 78 to 79, and he'd be arrested in New Hampshire and listed a spouse as Elizabeth Evans. But investigators have no clue who Elizabeth Evans is. And I'm assuming this arrest was the June 1981, but in October 1980, he would not list Elizabeth when he was arrested again. The police did find certified mail signed by an Elizabeth Evans at his home. And they, like I said, have no clue who she is. But the investigators believe he is responsible for the Bear Brook murders because he did some work for the man who owned the land, and he was connected to the 2 to 4 year old girl found in 2000. He was her father. And you have him living in the various areas, like I said earlier. He left the girl he called Lisa with a married couple. In 1986, he would have felony arrest warrants out on him, but it was under another name he went by. And that name was Gordon Curtis Jensen. And Terrence was living in California at this time, and in 1988, he'd be arrested under even another name. This time, it would be Gerald Mockerman. He had been caught driving a car that had been stolen from another state, and his fingerprints would list him as Gordon Jensen, so he would be discharged with child abandonment and child molestation on Lisa, you know, the little girl's actual name, Dawn. But he would plead guilty to abandonment and was sentenced to 3 years in prison. A molestation charge would be dropped because Lisa's parents, where she was adopted, didn't want her to testify against him. And he would be paroled in 1990, and he would go off the radar. But he would reach service in 2001. He would marry a Korean immigrant in California. He used another name in this marriage. The name was Lawrence William Vanner. Within a year, he would kill her. And he would partially dismember her body and buried her under the basement of their home. But in 2003, he would plead guilty to the murder and was sentenced to 15 years to life in prison. And he would die there in 2010. Investigators feel that Terrence may have been a serial killer and there are more victims that they don't know about. Very possibility. But I believe he killed the lady and the three children. Like, the evidence seems to point all in that direction. So, I wonder if the unknown lady is Elizabeth Evans. I'm sure they've looked into that. So, but still wondering, you know, who she is. Like, why have they not been able to track her down? Like, is she a different woman that he killed and just threw out? But you sure somebody would have surfaced by now, you know, and said, hey, I know who this Elizabeth Evans woman is. Or if the real Elizabeth Evans is still alive, she would come out and say, hey, I'm still alive. But I am sure he killed the niece. Like, so they've not been able to find her. So he killed her somewhere in the United States. I figured he'd mentioned everybody he killed once he was arrested for the murder of his last wife, but sometimes killers take it to the grave. Will the lady or the three children ever be identified? Will the niece ever be found? Will we ever know how many Terrence really killed? Sadly, we're left with only questions and no answers.
Yesterday morning, I had some things to attend to, but I did call you, I thought, in a reasonable time.
You did?
At that time, you said that you'd give me a little bit of leeway for a couple of days until I could get my ducks lined up, or whatever term you'd prefer to use.
And that's true.
So what I was doing was making arrangements to get my ducks lined up.
Okay.
And now you've got me up here.
Okay.
So here I am. Now, okay, we've been through this road already.
Okay.
Everybody is different.
Right.
Law enforcement people are human beings like everybody else. Like every other individual. Now, I haven't talked any more about Ensign's problems or my problems, because frankly, you're not my priest,
no.
And you're not my doctor, and both stories have their place. You know, gossip has its place in society sometimes. But I'm just not going to say any more about it soon, or myself right now.
Well,
because,
with the understanding of the
point. Frankly, no, I'm not going to cut you off.
Huh?
I'm not going to cut you off. And I've always tried to live by the model that there's no defense against the truth. But sometimes it's hard to find out what the truth is. You got one side, the other side, and something down the middle that people might perceive to be the truth. Now, when that southern fire was roaring last month, I don't know if you've ever lived in a rural area before, but most people were signed up for the firefighting crew. And when you get a journeyman carpenter that's only making maybe $8 or $9 an hour up there, and I'm talking about a professional journeyman, somebody that knows what he's doing and works good. And I guess you could compare that to a carpenter in this area that's out of the union. I think the scale is about $38 an hour in the Bay Area right now. When these guys get a chance to go to work for the Forest Service for $28.50 an hour, pay 24 hours a day plus their meal, this is not dangerous. They're going to go. They will.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be driving through places like that. If you had a pair of shoes and you were close to the fire, you'd get, what would you call it? You'd get volunteer. Park your car, mister. You're going to be a firefighter.
All right, Larry. Your priest came back. You know you're the name, right?
Curtis or Gerald or Jerry or whatever name you're going by this week.
Curtis Kimball.
Curtis Kimball. Or Gerald Mock, what's the name?
Mockerman?
Mockerman, right.
Ring a bell?
No.
Yeah, that's who you are, Matt.
Why not?
Do you need another Coke?
No.
You alright? Do you need candy bars or chips or something?
No, I'll be honest with you. I gotta eat small meals about 4 times a day, 5 times a day.
You need something? You sure?
I'm fine.
I got a snack. I've run down to the candy machine.
No, it's...
All right, I'm just gonna take about a minute. I'll be right back.
It's fine.
Maybe she hurt herself, and you're concerned about that getting out, because she's harmed herself.
No, there's no truth. If you're thinking, is she suicidal? Yeah, no, she's not.
No.
But she's not as aggressive as she used to be. Mm-hmm. Now, what else can I say? I don't chase younger women. It's just something that happened. Mm-hmm. What can I say?